Just say something.
Tell me.
Talk a little bit about it.
No, I can't talk.
You can't say it.
No, I'm not speechless.
Well, why don't you tell me when you were born?
That's a shock.
Oh. Well. Where and when?
When and where?
Well, I was born in Waynesburg, Starr County, Ohio. The third day of October, 1862.
And that means, how old are you now?
Well, that means that I'm 100 and about six or seven months old.
That's older than I am.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, the last couple of weeks.
Well, don't make any, you don't get excited.
I don't know what it is, but I think,
we're not going to worry about it.
They say old people get like that.
No, they don't.
But I'm not old.
Why, no, you're not. Why, I...
You know, I don't know why people talk about being old. And you know, that makes them old.
You're right.
I never in my life. And I never realized that and I still don't realize the age I am. I can't,
You don't need to.
When I look back over the years, though, then I can see, I can know that there's something wrong with my years.
Months, she'll be 101.
101 years old in 4 months. Now, this is the 23rd of May, 1963. And we're in the living room of Mrs. Rosenberg's at 155 East Milner. And... 154?
No, 155. No. We've lived here for how long, Mother?
Well, since 1918.
You lived here since 1918. All right. Now, you said that you were born in Waynesburg?
Yes.
And when did you come to Alliance?
Well, I came to Alliance when I was about 18 years old. I wasn't quite 18. I had my 18th birthday here in Alliance.
It was about 1880?
My sister, Mrs. Philip Gable. Did you know that he was a barber here in town? Well, I expect you ought to know who he was.
I faintly remember
you
the
remember
family.
She was a daughter. Mm-hmm. And I think she was a member, very active when you were. Mm-hmm.
Well, now, the thing he's trying to find out, were you married when you came to Alliance at the age of 18?
Oh, no.
No.
Why did you come to Alliance? Why did the family
Well, I came here because my sister lived here.
The Gables.
And she had a family that I came to live with her. Now, when they first... They lived at a house down on the corner of Union and Main Street, where that filling station is.
On the south side?
The southeast corner.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right there at the corner of Main and Union.
You remember that house? You ought to remember the house that was there.
Listen,
it's only been a few years since that was taken down.
Mm-hmm. This was your sister's home when you came.
Yes.
In about, was that 1880?
Oh.
Well,
that was in 1880.
If you were born in 62...
That would be 1880.
Well, I didn't come here to live. Well, maybe I don't know.
Well, at any rate...
I didn't come here till I was in about 1884, I think I came here.
I see. All right. I'd like to ask you, now at the time, when you were born... Who was president of the country?
Abraham Lincoln.
If it was in the 60s.
Abraham Lincoln.
18...
Well, my father was in the Civil War.
Your father was in the Civil War. Do you ever...
Well, I was 3 years, pretty near 3 years old when he...
When he was...
Yes, I just wondered. I just
no,
wondered if...
No, I don't think... I think he was had been assassinated before that.
But you don't recall any references as a youngster, any references to President Lincoln?
No, I wish I did.
Yes.
I've been asked that so many, many times.
Yes.
No, I can't remember that. You know, the children of
she
that
was only
day.
3 years old when
yes.
he.
The children of that day are not like the children of 3 year old today. Now, the children of 3 years old today know more now than I did when I was 10.
I see, because of the more books and better communication, I suppose.
Yes.
Well, then, is there, when you came to Alliance in the 80s, whenever this was, could you describe your impression of the city at that time?
Well, I thought it was a beautiful city, and it was a beautiful city at that time. And Webb Avenue was just a beautiful city. My sister, after they lived up there, they didn't own that house. Then they moved down on Patterson Street. And I used to live there with them, and I followed with her. And I used to take walks down Webb Avenue. That was one of the most beautiful streets in this city.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's,
the wrong side of the tracks.
Named,
well, it's
named from Walter Webb.
Union Avenue is getting to look just like it.
Yes, we noticed the changes in the city. Do you recall any of the stores of the 1880s?
Well, I remember Sam Kessenstein's store.
Where was that?
Well, that was, I can't tell you just
it's where.
It's where
the Band Orc is now.
Just below the square.
Where the Band Orc is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. What kind of a store was Sam Katzenstein?
Oh, he had a men's store.
Men's store?
Men's clothing. And a TB cup of the cup store. Now, that's the Spring Hosler store now, I guess.
No,
that's where Murphy's.
Corner
that's
of Linden.
Where Murphy's is now.
That's right. Well, you remember that, don't you?
Was this a department store?
Yeah. It was a general store.
Yes. Uh-huh. Was the street, Main Street, paved?
No, Main Street wasn't paved. It had those big cobblestones.
Cobblestone.
Just like the square.
Square had cobblestones?
Oh, yes.
They, were not the best thing to walk on, I suppose.
Oh, no. They weren't. They weren't the nice thing to look at either.
I see. Well, then, at that time, this was the center of the residential center of the city was around Webb Street, was it?
Yes,
Webb
it
Avenue?
Was. Yes. Where the Webbs lived down there, Walter Webb's people lived there. That's who the street was named after, them.
I see.
Walter Webb's family. You knew that, didn't you?
Then,
Walter Webb house still stands there.
Did you attend any school in Alliance?
Well, I attended, I went to Mount Union College for music. I studied music there about 2 years.
About 2 years?
The old Professor Billy Armstrong, he was the professor there at that time.
What field of music? You mean piano or voice?
Piano, not piano, voice.
Voice. And was this in the old conservatory? In Miller Hall.
It was in Miller Hall. There was one room there in Miller Hall.
That the music department used.
Yes, as you go in the door, it was on the left-hand side. I remember that so well.
Is that so?
I think of that every time I go by there.
Well, what was the rest of the building used for? Was it dormitory?
Dormitories.
Now, were there other?
Well, there was several of the professors lived there with their families downstairs.
Was that so?
The upper room, the second floor, was the dormitory.
But the you mean the ground floor?
The ground floor was Professor Soule. Remember, you don't remember.
No, I think I remember the name.
No, you, yeah, well, yes. He's
the name is. Were there other offices there or any other classes taught in that building?
I think not. I think that was the only class that was taught there, the music.
Was there any other music building at that time?
No, there wasn't. That was the only music. The only music that was taught in Mount Union.
Well, now, when you went into the classroom for voice, I presume there was a piano in the room?
Oh, yes.
And was there just one man who taught?
Yes.
And how many students, can you recall how many were enrolled?
Oh, I can't tell you. Mm-hmm. It was only one at a time.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah. Was there a glee club or a choir or anything like that?
Well, they used to be what they called the Linnean Circle, and the, what was the other one?
The other was Republican, I believe.
I was going to say that, but I was wondering if I was right.
I think those are the two. I remember the names.
Yes.
These are the two societies.
Yes. And they met in the, in the college. What is the college now? The big room.
The Chapman Hall.
Chapman Hall.
Yes. Did you ever attend those meetings?
Oh, yes.
What went on in those meetings? I've heard so much about them. The two, they were debating societies.
Oh, I never attended the societies. No,
you didn't.
No, but I used to go there when this old professor used to have his recitals there.
Oh, I see. Voice and
there seemed as though there was a great big the Republican was on the east side of the hall. And a Linnean, or vice versa, mm-hmm. I guess I'm, because I was on the right, on the east side, I remember.
I see.
But when he did his recitals, they threw this all in one big room.
Oh, into one large room.
They had folding doors between.
Did you ever participate in a recital there?
Always did.
And this would be about what year?
Well, that was about 1885. I think 1885 was the last Sunday. And I sang a duet with Professor Soule's daughter. She and I used to sing together. She was a contralto.
Was her name Marion? Mm-hmm.
Marion mm-hmm. Soule. And I was a soprano.
How many people would come to the recital? Do you have any idea?
Oh, the hall would be filled up with people.
It would.
The whole room would be filled with people.
Would the recitals be held on, a Sunday afternoon or in the evening?
No, usually on a Monday evening.
A Monday evening?
Yeah, always on Monday evenings.
I see.
They never had it on Sunday. They never had any exercises on Sunday. Marjorie, you didn't.
Do you recall any other events on the campus? I'm just searching now if there's anything that you recall of the... in that period, anything about the faculty or the president of the school?
No,
or any activities?
I never attended any of those.
You were just a part-time student,
yes.
You could say.
Mm-hmm. I just I only went there to take my lesson and then go back home. And
yes.
I didn't know anything about the. I didn't belong to this society,
yes.
But. Of course, because I could sing.
If you want to sing.
Yes.
Well, I just tell him that you walked from Main Street up
That's
to
what
college.
I was going to ask. You were still living down on
That's
Main Street.
That's right.
Yes.
She walked.
And how, you
yes.
walked all the way up there?
Oh, well, there was no other way to go.
Well, Mr. Grimes is
there was a man, I was trying to think of his name. It wasn't John, but John Grimes' brother who had a Surrey. And he'd, I think he charged a quarter to go from, all from way down Main Street here up to Mount Union. Imagine that.
Was Union Avenue paved? The road that would, you
No,
would
want Union to... Avenue wasn't paved then.
Wasn't paved?
No, it wasn't paved then.
And was there a stretch there in which there were no homes? Between Mount Union and...
Well, now, where they're tearing down this conservatory of
yeah.
music, that was about the only house that was built up there. And I used to, when I'd be walking past there, I was telling Burnett the other day how it seems to kind of spooky-like. Nobody lived there.
Yeah.
A man by the name of Lane built the house, and then he either couldn't afford to finish it, it wasn't finished, when the conservatory bought it.
And then they fixed it over.
And they fixed it over.
It was never lived
many,
in.
Many years after this
never
that I used
home.
To go by it.
Is that so? And then you, but this house was there when you went
to the house. The house was there. And I can't remember very many other houses along in there. There wasn't any.
But that house was not being lived in, where the conservatory is now.
Nobody lived there.
That's why it was kind of spooky, huh?
Well, it wasn't livable. It didn't.
Wasn't
everything
finished.
Grew up around it.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Now I was always kind of scared to go by there.
I can understand.
I snap it off for a minute.
Well,
I think Burdette ought to say that.
Well, here's another thing.
Yes.
That may be for posterity. The mm-hmm. Mayor of Lyons didn't know it last year. Mother's name is the only remaining member of the Monument Committee that was instrumental in removing the hitching posts and cobblestones from the square, whose name is on the monument, the only living member.
Is that
her so? Her name is in bronze on the monument.
Now, when was this done, the removing of the cobblestones?
Well, now, you know, I've forgotten the year.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that I remember very well when it happened, but the years I just can't quite remember that part.
But there was a committee. Now, was this part of the Daughters?
This was a committee appointed by the Daughters.
So would you care to tell us, just to back up a little more, and tell us then about the formation of the Daughters and your activity in the group?
Well, I wasn't here when the Daughters were formed. Well, you ought to know, Mrs. Christ, about you used to belong to the Daughters.
Many years
ago. This girl belonged to the Daughters. Mm-hmm. I remember very well. She never come very much, I guess, when I was there. Well, when I was there, you weren't there. But you used to be very active. And do you remember that you was the chairman of our first anniversary? I mean, the 50-year anniversary over the Woman's Club?
I remember. I faintly remember.
Now, don't forget that, because the girls don't forget.
Now, just recently, we've had our 70s.
We are all called girls.
25 years later.
Why, sure.
And we are the girls of the old boys.
Well, now, when this has been, I know, very significant in your lifetime here, and I would like to know a little more about the participation of the Daughters in, for example, this monument project. This was at the city square, is that correct?
Right.
What did you do?
Well, we were appointed by our president.
All right.
I think there were...
Well, you worked directly with the Grand Army, Mother.
The Grand Army
and the Daughters.
Yes. Well,
and they raised $5,000.
If you just do you good to see all the names of the Grand Army on that,
mm-hmm.
and the Grand Army names are on that, on the monument.
I must look at that, and then.
Well, that'd be a good thing.
And your name?
Well, I'm down in the line someplace.
Yes.
But Minnie Trescott, who was the first president of the state and the first president of the tent. We call these organizations tents.
I see.
And she, of course, was the president of this committee.
I see.
Or the chairman of the committee. We had. I can't think what this is. I want to say.
I do think, though, that Mrs. Rosenberg participated in the first quartet and sang for many, many years.
Well, she organized the quartet.
When the Grand Army would have their funerals, they had their own songs in their ritual. And I can't remember anyone before Morgan Anderson. I think he was the commander of the Grand Army post when I became active in the tent. But it was he who insisted, he was the one that planned the monument and insisted that we had the cobblestones removed from there and have it paved and for the monument, which I feel today is the wrong place for it.
Did you? Well, it's just, it's certainly added a great deal there.
Well, it's just a little bit too small a space for, as I see it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't then. I thought that was a place for it. But it was a good thing we, different groups of the daughters went to the polls when and did it.
They had a referendum.
That's
to,
right.
Remove the hitching post.
To remove the hitching post.
Well, there were, you'd be surprised at the
merchant
men who had business homes or houses around the square.
Yes.
That refused to
allow it.
To allow the removing of the hitching post.
An old man with a name. Yeah, he was an old man too then. I don't like to call him.
Oh, well, don't
old.
Name names, Mother. You don't need to.
Well, anyway, Enos Brogius, who had a lot of property around the square there, and of course he didn't live there, but he rented it, you know. And there was one corner with a saloon, and it was a nasty saloon. They used to be, I thought, they're right close to the city hall. That I don't know what is there now. Well, the bank.
The bank.
The bank.
That's right. Well.
That used to be a saloon.
Yes, that used to be a saloon. And it was a saloon.
Mm-hmm.
But he got money out of it, and that was
not
all he cared for.
So we didn't want to have the hitching post removed.
No. We went to the committee went to the city hall, to the council meeting, and he was there. We had an awful time.
Well, now...
And we finally won.
Can you recall about what year we're speaking of now? Or perhaps you can...
would say about 1911.
This would be before World War I.
Yes.
1911. Yes, and a little before that.
Maybe before that.
I see.
Because I think the initial dedication was about 1912.
I see. Dedication of the monument.
The dedication of the monument.
Yes.
Was it 1912?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and
now...
then, later, they put the statue on and had a rededication.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, now the cost of the monument and all of the
cost of the monument was $5,000.
Was this undertaken by the daughters?
And the Grand Army.
And the funds were raised within this group?
That's right.
We raised $5,000.
I see.
The daughters. And the Grand Army,
yes.
And the Citizens of Alliance.
Yes.
Now you said about singing at the funerals. They had
songs
for each funeral.
They would have they had their ritual service, and in one service, it says one by one as the years roll on and so on they go on. We too, and we had a song called. We're going down the valley one by one. Remember that? And we sang that one time for them. And Mr. Anderson said, now you girls will sing, you ought to sing that at every one of these. So, and we want you to sing at every funeral. We can't sing anymore, so you girls. So we thought, well, maybe we could sing a little bit. And
that was what year? 19 what?
Oh, my... I wish I could remember,
about
dear.
About 1905.
We sang for 47.
1905 was the first time we sang, but not for a funeral.
Then do I understand that you then, this was a quartet, and that you were singing then for some 40 years after that?
That's right. They sang for all funerals.
Oh, yes.
And on Memorial Day.
Nice.
Always, we always did.
They were very dependable. Always promptly.
What was it? The same four members of the quartet?
No,
membership would change.
Yeah.
I remember.
She was the only permanent one.
I see.
Well, there's only one other one living that was of the original quartet, Burnett.
Was Hattie original?
Huh?
Was Hattie Rule original?
No. Fern's sister.
Irene Miller, okay. Kerr.
Irene.
I see.
Mother sang first soprano, Irene sang second. Well, then when Irene dropped out, then I took over, and I sang second.
Carrie Glenwright.
Carrie Glenwright sang first alto, and Hattie Rule, second alto.
I see.
Mrs. Elliot Geiger at one time was a first alto.
She was one of the original ones, too.
I see. You have had a wonderful opportunity to observe Alliance over the years.
Yes, but it didn't, I didn't realize what I could remember. Not, I've forgotten so many things.
Mm-hmm. Are there any highlights that come to your mind? I do want to ask you, you were here at the time that the Opera House fell.
Yes.
Were you there? Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. I saw it after it got down, but I didn't see it fall. But I did see the top of the R building go up in the air. There was a house where the Presbyterian Church is right now on the opposite side of the street. There was an old house there before the Culps built their house. And I was visiting a friend of mine there at that home. I remember I was standing on the porch, just ready to leave, when I heard this explosion and looked out this direction and saw that
explosion. Now, where was the ore building? Where was it located?
What is there now, Burnett? It used to be where the
it's the building next to the Raven Restaurant, where the Raven Restaurant is.
On Main Street.
Right there. Mm-hmm.
And what was the building used for at this time that the explosion occurred?
Well, it was a tin store. What did they sell?
Hardware?
Hardware, I was trying to say that.
And there was an explosion.
Tell him what happened.
What happened?
Tell him what happened.
Well, a little child, they had a can of gasoline sitting by a stove that we know nothing but stoves in those days, mm-hmm. And why they left this can of gasoline.
Wouldn't it have been kerosene?
No, it was gasoline.
That's all.
It was gasoline because I don't know whether it was more than a gallon or whether it was just a gallon, but it was a gallon anyway, and perhaps more than that. But it was sitting close to the stove, and this child, the grandchild of the man who owned the building, Burnett, I've forgotten the name of the people who owned it.
Ors,
and they lived on Columbia Street, where the Columbia Theater used to stand, and don't stand there anymore.
Stand there now. This child was next to the gasoline.
The child upset the can.
Next to the stove.
And of course it run into this. Maybe the can wasn't by the stove, but it run down.
Yes.
That ignited the thing.
I see. Were there injuries in this?
Well, yes.
Was the child?
Yes.
The child, and the father and a son. And this child, there was four.
It was a major tragedy, wasn't it?
Oh,
they
lost
their lives.
It was a terrible thing.
And about what year is this? Are we talking?
Burnett, was the year Billy Gable was born. Now, what year was that? Do you know?
Oh, Mother, I don't know.
Would we be talking after the turn of the century or before?
No, before the turn of the century.
This is back in the 1800s or something. Mm-hmm. All right.
That was between 1880 and 85, somewhere along there. No, because you lived here. You lived in Alliance, Mother, didn't you?
Yes, I lived here. My sister.
Well, that was between 85 and 90 then.
All right. In this same time, between 1885 and 95, in there, what I just wonder if you could tell us about some of the activities in the town. What were there band concerts? Were there parades? Or what was the...
Oh, yes, we had a wonderful band in those days. I think this is...
Uncle Philip played in it.
Yes.
Mother's sister.
This be the city band?
The city band.
Yes.
Did they give regular...
I did know who many of the...
Yeah, there was a picture in the paper some time ago, these old pictures.
Yes, I saw that.
And Uncle Philip's picture was in the band.
I see.
Mother's sister's husband.
Would the band give regular concerts during the summertime outside?
Oh, yes, they did, on the square.
On the square. And what other activities or recreation?
I don't know of anything more than that.
Did you meet your husband here?
No.
Oh.
I went to Maslin. W.H. Vincent was the manager and owner of Union Depot Hotel. Do you remember when they had a hotel there?
No.
Well, anyway, they used to serve meals for trains as they stopped there. Anyway, this W.H. Vincent, who lived on Columbia Street and run this home, were very wonderful friends of mine, and I went there and waited table for a few months, I guess, or something, not very long. Then he moved to Maslin, and I went with them to Maslin, and it was there I met my husband, who was born in Zor. I do want this to be, I want people to know.
All right.
So many people think that he was a Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wasn't. He was a German, but he,
mm-hmm.
and born a German.
Mm-hmm.
That is a German settlement at Zor,
yeah.
Tuscarora County.
Yeah.
Everybody knows
yeah.
where.
Yeah.
That uh-huh. is now a... quite a resort.
Yes, it is.
Then you were married in Maslin?
I was married in Maslin.
I see.
Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, you mentioned this hotel at the depot. Was the Sauerbeck...
It was the Sauerbeck House.
He was in charge of that?
It used to be... No, it wasn't the Sauerbeck House. Mr. Vincent had it.
Yes, but the Sauerbeck House was there at the same time.
That was it. The same place.
Oh, I see. Well, then, was the Chase House there at that same time, that hotel that was...
That's on the other side.
Yes.
Yes.
Was that there also?
That was there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But they kept people overnight.
Yes.
These were just for people who stopped on the train.
Well, in other words, the trains would come through, and would the entire train stop for lunch?
Oh, yes.
The train would stop. Everybody would get out of the train?
Well, there's so many minutes, you know, they had.
Oh, is that so? Instead of serving the meal on the train?
Oh, no. They all got out, but it was only just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you...
She was a waitress.
You waited on table. Right?
Yes, and you know, there was I remember one time General John A. Logan came through there with a group of people and Grover Cleveland.
Did you see Grover Cleveland?
Yes, and I saw John A. Logan with his black whiskers. Didn't have whiskers, he had a heavy black mustache.
Did Cleveland have a mustache?
No, he never had it. He didn't have a mustache.
He come in to eat?
Yes, they come in for their meal.
Was he the president then?
No, I think he was running for president.
He was campaigning for president?
He was campaigning at that time.
Uh-huh. Did he make any campaign speeches?
No, not in there, he didn't.
He
didn't have time. They only had just maybe 15-20 minutes.
What would you serve them in that time?
Oh, everything was already on the table.
For example, what?
Family style.
Anything anybody would do.
Sandwiches.
No, I think they had regular meals.
Regular hot meals.
Yes. They knew when the train would come.
Oh, I see.
They
did
knew
you know
when the train would yeah. arrive.
How many trains would stop in a day for meals like this?
Oh, well, I can't remember. Maybe not more than two.
I see. Uh-huh. And these would be east and west bound trains, Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And
Alliance used to be, this used to be the terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved the yard, they called it the railroad yard.
Yes.
I don't know where they moved.
Canton.
They moved to Canton.
I think they went farther than Canton.
No, they went to Canton, Mother. They moved to Canton.
Well.
I think they moved to farther west.
Well, they have a big yard in Crestline, too.
Well.
Did you...
That is ancient history to me.
Well, this is fine. Yeah.
Then you came back to Alliance, you and your husband. Were your children born here?
I was.
No, my son was born in Dover. My husband was a repairman on the CL&W Railroad when we lived in Massillon. And they moved the office to Dover and moved, of course, the families that worked for the company there, too. And while we were there, I was only there about a year and a half, I think. Then my son was born there.
I see.
And this son was born here. In Alliance, down in the second ward.
I was going to say, when you moved here then, where did you live? What was the home when you came back from Dover?
Well, I had two or three homes then. This is the first home we owned.
I see.
How long you lived here?
About 43 years, I think.
We came here in 1918.
Ain't that about 43?
I guess.
Yes.
I went to school. I can't count anymore.
I think that's very good.
10, 11, 12, 13. That's five. That's 45 years.
Well, that's close enough. Well, this has been very fine. I don't know that I have any other questions.
I think you should mention that Burdette is the daughter and lives here with her mother. And
well, this conversation on the 23rd of May, 1963, is being recorded with five of us in the room. This is Mrs. Rosenberg and her daughter Burdette and myself, my mother, and my daughter Rachel. And Rachel, do you have any question you'd like to ask? So we didn't know that Grover Cleveland came in down there for lunch. This is something that's new to me.
That's real history.